Hey folks, welcome back to What Would Father Say? This is Tom McNew again. Father John Gisaldo here back with us. As we pick back up with the fourth commandment, we kind of unpacked the first half of it, duty of parents last week. So we're going to kind of get to the other side of the coin, if you will. And then of course the necessary redress address of the political sphere and how this in our 21st century, what it all means for us.
Yeah.
So Father, you were talking
Yeah,
as we
so
kind of ended about us as adult children who have parents who are aging, getting
yeah.
older. What's our responsibility towards them?
Yeah, so let's finish that part out and paragraph 22:18. And again, quote Sirach, and we'll read through those. The fourth commandment reminds grown children of their responsibilities towards their parents. As much as they can, which is a key thing. Sometimes it's tough. As much as they can, they must give them material and moral support in old age and in times of illness, loneliness, or distress. Jesus recalls this duty of gratitude. That's in Mark 7. But if we can go back to Sirach, chapter 3, very beginning, children. Listen to me, your father, and act accordingly what that you may be saved. For the Lord sets a father an honor over his children and confirms a mother's authority over her sons. Those who honor their father atone for sins. They store up riches with respect to their mother. Those who honor their father will have joy in their own children. Those who respect their father will live a long life. Those who obey the Lord honor their mother. Those who fear the Lord honor their father and serve their parents as masters. Wow. You know, it speaks to the whole, I mean, growing up, later on, maybe, some of our grandparents or parents weren't perfect. But I looked at my two grandpas as just heroes, strong men who'd been around. And, to see my father respecting them and to listen to their stories, I found we were in awe of them. And we loved them when they came over. I was very lucky. I knew all four of my grandparents. They all were married, stay married, and I got to bury all four of them. And even though as you get older, you find out maybe they had rough lives, and maybe they weren't perfect, but we had an extended family that was it was so comforting. You felt safe and part of a unit, and to see my parents respecting, I remember my mother would answer the phone when I was a kid, and I could tell she was talking to my grandparents, how she talked back then. Hey, Daddy, how did you? And I mean, she I just had you could tell who she was talking to, and it was comforting to hear that. But when it comes to times of illness, loneliness, and distress. I watched my parents, especially my mother and my father, take care of my maternal grandparents. We moved from Chicago to here. And so for a little while, my grandparents lived with us, and that was not always easy. My grandfather slowly had dementia and had strokes and Alzheimer's. And I remember he left us long before he left us. And how hard it was on my grandmother, because her mind was sharp as a tack, and trying to care for him, and she was never healthy. And she was caught between us because he was a little, he didn't know who we were sometimes. He was a little verbally abusive now and then, and he had no control of his, it was so difficult for them. And then so that was tough, but they stayed with us, and then they were in a nursing home and watching my parents, especially my mom, suffer with that and feeling bad. But we as grandkids and kids, I mean, we every time I go visit my grandmother, I'd ask, "Oh, how's her other grandkids?" "Oh yeah, they were just here." "Oh yeah, your brother was just here." "Oh, your sister was just here." Watching my grandfather go was a bit more rough. He had a rough life, and so we had lots of. He sometimes he didn't know who I was, but my grandmother knew who I was. She lived till she was 97, and we would go visit her, and she'd tell us about all the gossip going on in the in the nursing home, and
And you mentioned the, that your grandparents were in a nursing home, and I think that gets to the phrase that you kind of hit on, as much as they can. And I think that there's you hear sometimes of people with a little twinge of guilt of we had to put mom, we had to put dad, grandma, grandpa, whatever, into a home. And that's always sometimes I think said with, like I said, a little twinge of guilt. But I think it's important for us that if we're recognizing that we don't have the medical or the physical strength to care for this person, that just because we're in a position where that person has to go somewhere where they do have medical care, they do have that physical care, our responsibility lies, and you were hitting on it, in our constant visits and communication with them.
It's a reality because even amongst for hundreds of years in other countries, kids and grandkids took care of their grandma. I mean, they just did that. And a lot of our Hispanics would never think of putting grandma in a home. That's not what we do. But people didn't live as long. If you and I would be considered elderly, 100 years ago. Wow, you guys are old. But that tugs at your strings because you want to be respectful, and oftentimes that's an often people struggle. They struggle with getting impatient with mom, impatient with dad. I heard a Dr. Janet Smith. They had a Theology of the Body conference, and they were giving different talks, and she gave a talk called Theology of the Old Body.
Ooh.
And she was reflecting on her own mother who had serious Alzheimer's. Couldn't remember one thing from the next. Why are you here? Where are we? Where's your brother and sister? Well, mom, they died. Oh, why am I here? Well, you live here now. You live here with me. I do? Yes. Oh, when did that start? A few years ago, mom. Answering the same questions over
Over and
and
over.
over again. And how hard that is. And it causes us to be more, well, it forces us either to be patient. I went to visit a man in the nursing home, and on the whiteboard in front of his face, big letters, "You're here because you have dementia. You're in the nursing home," because he goes, "I don't know why I'm here. I don't know why I'm here. Where's my wife? Well, she died a long time ago." "She died?" "Yes, she passed." And wow, so the mind fails them. The mind fails them, and that's hard on everybody.
Maybe someday we'll all understand why it is that this is set up the way it is. I mean, but I think it's an important for people to remember that that this is a necessary part of that family social cell, as we talked a little bit last week, but.
So the two things most profound for me is I watched my sister change my grandmother's diaper. Wow. And then my most growing up point is when my grandmother, who had all her faculties, she goes, "Johnny, I need you to take me to the bathroom." And I took her to the bath, helped her go to the bathroom. And so I'd like to think I was more mature about it. She saw that I was uncomfortable, and she goes, "I'm sorry about this. I'm sorry," but she had to go. And but I remember she changed my diapers. So it's like, hey man, get over it. This will be you. And I remember my father even say, when dealing with my paternal grandfather, who became a little bit agitated as he grew up, and they stayed with us for a little while, and it was hard. And he would say, "That's going to be me in 40 years. That's me in 40 years." And so that's what Christian family life is not, wasn't meant to be easy. It's sacrificial.
And this is part of that honoring.
Oh my
So there's
gosh.
another aspect of this that we must address
Yes, the duty
in
of
the political sphere, if you will. that surrounds this fourth commandment.
Yeah, so in paragraph 2239, it talks about duties of citizens and honor your father and mother. It means we're supposed to honor those in rightful authority over us. And so, 2239, it is the duty of citizens to contribute along with the civil authorities to the good of society in a spirit of truth, justice, and solidarity and freedom. The love and service of one's country follow from this duty, the duty of gratitude and belong to the order of charity, submission to legitimate authorities. And what is that? You know, when people put up, speed limit signs and even whatever the tax code is, these are legitimate authorities. Now, if you don't want that, you can always vote against it. And it says submission to legitimate authorities and the service of the common good require citizens to fulfill their role in the life of the political community. We are not Jehovah's Witnesses. We do not pull back from our duty as we have a right to speak up. We have to remember that our Christianity informs our politics, not the other way around. And we don't, we are a nation under God, and we're, in the Declaration of Independence, it acknowledges God. We have the right by the Creator by certain inalienable rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You don't have a right to happiness, the right to pursue it. And that we don't leave our Catholic faith at the door when it comes to our communal life in the political sphere. So we go to 2240, even gets more specific. Submission to authority and co-responsibility for the common good makes it morally obligatory. Ho, to pay taxes. That means if you're not paying your tax, you're stealing. You're stealing. And people cheat the government. I mean, we can have an argument. Like if you lived in Norway or Scotland, they have a 70%. I mean, the tax
Tax
rate is
base. Yeah.
unbelievable.
Yeah.
But that's what the people there don't mind. And in Canada, it's worse. They tax their own taxes. Obligatory to pay taxes, to exercise the right to vote, and to defend one's country. What does that mean? This is the first time in a long time, that one of the reasons that Trump won Pennsylvania is that the Amish came out to vote.
Yeah,
Whoever
we
thought
talked
that would
about that.
happen? They came out to vote. Now, Jehovah's Witnesses don't vote, and to their own demise. But we live in a country of laws, and people represent us. And not only, and I like this, you don't have a just a right to pay taxes and exercise the vote and defend one's country. It uses the word obligatory.
Morally
Make it
obligatory.
minority. In Romans 45, it quotes Romans 45. I'm sorry, it quotes Romans 13. Pay to all of them their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, revenue to whom revenue is due, respect to whom respect is due, honor to whom honor is due. When people, my father is a dentist, and people would come and get their work done on their teeth, and sometimes it's why I can't pay, and they'd leave. Well, I'll pay you in installments, and they never did. They just, oh, that's right, he's got money. They got money. I said,
He's
no,
a
you,
rich dentist.
yeah, no, you. That's stealing. That's stealing. Now, a confession here. When I was 18 or 19 years old, I used to live in an apartment in San Marcos, and we had a McDonald's right next to us. McDonald's is rich, right? We used to go take their salt shakers and napkins for my apartment. We just, and sometimes even a ketchup. Remember those little packets of ketchup? I guess they still have. Me and my roommate say, hey, grab some napkins for the house. I need some salt shakers. And we just grab, that's stealing. But we'd say, what? Oh, we can
They don't need
afford
it.
it. They don't need it. They can afford it. As if stealing from the, now those, I only found out later that most of those McDonald's are franchised by families. And that violates the seventh commandment. You just committed a mortal sin. But that's what most thieves do. They rob people, they think, oh, he's got money. They can afford it.
Justification.
But you find out real quick. Anyway, find out real quick in prison, prisoners are very sensitive to people stealing from them.
Oh, I'm
Very
sure.
sensitive.
Sure. Sure. Honor among thieves. Which is interesting.
Yeah.
But you talk about this, this whole responsibility, this moral obligation. And Christ tells us that we have he instructed us in very clear grammar, give unto God what is God's and give unto Caesar what is
What
Caesar's.
is Caesar's? Yeah.
And
Yeah, you
he
don't
was
have
using a
to.
coin, and he was using a coin to make that point. I
It
think
had
Jesus.
the emperor. I mean, it had the emperor. Man, for the Jewish people, like, what? What they're, I mean, even if you're surrounded by the enemy, you're surrounded by the enemy, you can always defend yourself. You're always supposed to, and if you're being oppressed unjustly, to speak out. But to remember, those are human beings too. Hopefully they're minded of us being human beings. Yeah. How much time we got? We got 12 minutes. I'd like to jump on one more thing, if you don't
Yeah,
mind.
absolutely.
And that's a it's a it's the very back of it, on page 543, 20 paragraph 2253. That parents should respect and encourage their children's vocation. They should remember to teach that the first calling of the Christian is to follow Jesus. Well, good priests and nuns and sisters and brothers and deacons, they come from good Catholic families. But oftentimes, this remind when I was a especially, let's just face it, especially in some cultures, they'll say, we want grandchildren, that you should encourage your children to look into becoming a priest or religious. First, give the church and God the first crack at your life. So, I have a friend who I worked with, and I bapt and there he was a good Catholic. He married a good Catholic, and they had a child, and I baptized that child. And to this day, I kind of rib him about it, but we tell a joke when we baptize babies. If the baby doesn't cry, they might become a priest or a nun. And if the baby does cry, well, then they're destined for the perils of married life. So I kind of said that, in passing, but I baptized my one of my friend's sons, and I said, look, maybe, and he didn't cry. The baby didn't cry. And I said, look, he might become a priest. And my friend's face fell and said, don't say that. I said, what? I said, shame on you, man. What do you mean? What do you mean? Don't say that. Wow. But priests come from families that are open to life, that have multiple children. Let's see, having a priest or a nun in the family is a blessing. But how often do we live vicariously through our children? And signed up for every camp and select. And when I was in Waco, we had a bunch of parents who would pay us to let them use our gyms for their kids' private lessons in basketball. One-on-one, paying out the nose, $100 an hour for their kid to take private lessons in softball, basketball, cheer, and not even instilling them any, is your son in love with the Lord? Is your son, your daughter in love with the Lord? That they
I
have
think that's,
vocations. Go ahead.
no, I was just saying, I think that's another important aspect of this commandment is that, it says honor your father and your mother, but the parents' responsibilities to ensuring that their children are raised, in a Catholic home with the sacraments,
Yeah.
learning how to, and you mentioned it the first part of last week, to be those primary educators of their children.
Yeah, and that's what discipline means. There's an old saying, a priest friend who was in the Marines, he told me that There's a saying, if you spoil your kid, he will grow to hate you. If you spoil your child, he will grow to hate you. And I always think one of the greatest stories, the theological stories ever written, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Yeah.
You have Charlie, who's this poor kid who only wants to help his family, and he has good parents who love him, but they sacrifice, you know. Then you have these four other spoiled, rotten brats who disrespect their parents, who are never satisfied. You know, she should go down in history. Veruca Salt.
Yeah.
Daddy, I want a pony now. And oh yes, darling. Yeah, whatever you want, whatever I give you, whatever you want. Those kind of parents, when they grow old, their children will hate them. They'll resent them. And to keep that in mind, that if you want your kids to respect you, do what's best for them. If we could, and I keep looking at the clock here,
Yeah, we got about 5 minutes
because
left, but yeah, go
if we
ahead.
don't respect our parents and don't have good family units and do what's best for our children, the government will overtake it. And I think, you know, the very last paragraph of this whole section, 2257, it reminds us that, you know, the church has never been in favor of communism or socialism. It's always anti-human, anti-Christian, because they want socialism and totalitarianism want families to work for the state, not the common good. So every society's 2257, every society's judgments and conduct reflect the vision of man and his destiny. Without the light of the gospel, without the light the gospel sheds on God and man, societies easily become totalitarian. Wow. Wow. All you got to do is look at the Soviet Union. All you got to do is look at China. They hate families. The state comes before the family. And if you live in China today and you show proficiency in like playing ping pong, they will pull your child away from you and send them off to camp so they work for the state. They hate families. They want to, you know, Karl Marx hates marriage. Anytime you read Marx, you realize, wow, this is Satan hates marriage, hates children, hates the family. And some of this socialism, Marxism, communism has poisoned the church in many, many places. That's why vocations and babies are down. Because, you know, honor your father and mother, you know, honor the state. We don't need fathers and mothers. With some politician, it takes a village. No, it takes a family to raise a village. So when you become wards of the state, then you have a culture of death, a culture of death. And all you have to do is look at, you know, China with their one child policy. Now they're trying to undo that.
There are three or four generations of people who have no idea what it's like to have a family.
Yeah, and then it is ironic because it's in the Asian communities
Yeah.
that the elders are most respected. You know, elders are seen, you do not, and when they come to this country or Western Europe, they adopt, if you go farther into Europe, like Scandinavia, oh, what happens when mom or dad gets old? Let's just put him out of his misery.
Yeah.
And they guilt the
Euthanasia.
grandparents. They guilt the parents. You don't want to be a burden. I don't want to be a burden on my children. Why not? They're a burden on you. And so it's like one of the top two ways people die in Sweden and Norway. It's called death with dignity. Oh, we respect our
Dignity.
parents. We're going to go ahead and put them out of their misery. Oh, that's what happens. And the right left sides of our country are like that too.
I saw a deal not too long ago. It says that was talking about some statistics for 2024 and the number of people that what do they call it? A death with dignity or elected suicide or whatever euphemism you want to use, and that Over 75% of the people, and I don't remember what country this is in now. I think it was in Sweden. But anyway, over 75% of the people that committed suicide, whether it was by themselves or with a doctor or whatever, weren't suffering from some terminal illness. They were just old and didn't want to have to be, like you said, didn't want to have to be a burden. Just like, come on, that how does that even compute in people's heads?
And they instill in them guilt. Come on, mom. Come on, dad. This is really hard. And then they're like guilt, and yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead and put me down. Euthanize me at the beginning and the end. You know, little babies have no rights, and elderly people are forgotten as just old. You know, if I could say one more thing, well, I know we got a
Sure.
minute. I remember I went to visit an old Monsignor in a Catholic hospital, and his name is Monsignor Frank Miller. I don't know if you ever knew him. But he was in his 90s and he was in a hospital, a Catholic hospital. And I walked in there to see him. And this nurse walks in and goes, "Oh, hi, how you doing, Mr. Frank? How you doing, Mr. Frank?" I said, "This is Monsignor Frank Miller." Call him that. And because this is this, and I said, "Is this a Catholic hospital?" She goes, "I guess kinda." "Kinda?" Says, "Our friend is a Catholic hospital. He's Monsignor Frank Miller. Would you please?" "Oh, Mr. Frank, yeah, it's older people and little babies are seen as just burdens, and instead of the respect. That's why it's a commandment."
That's right. That's right. Hey folks, this is gonna finish us up here for this week and with the fourth commandment. So we're getting close to the halfway point. If you missed some or all of today's episode, again, you can pick it back up on Sunday at 12:30. We are going to pick up the fifth commandment next week.
It's a doozy. It's
It's a doozy. They're all doozies. This is going to require us some conversation. And folks, if you're out there and you've been listening to us and you don't own a catechism, call me. I will go get you one. I will buy a catechism for you. It is that important, and I feel it is that important for every house, every person to have a copy of the Catholic Catechism of a church. And so tune in next week. We'll come back with Father John and the Fifth Amendment. And remember to put on the armor of God.